America. I'm your host, Jamie Lynn Walnow, and I'm so glad that you're here. What we do today determines the America that we live in tomorrow. What does that mean? We can sit back and complain all day long, or we can hop in, ask God what he wants to do on the earth, partner with his solutions, and do it. And that's what we're here for. I love interviewing men and women who are impacting culture with God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And it takes men and women who are set apart without compromise to do so. So this week, I'm so excited to interview Jamal Miller. He is an incredible business owner, pastor at heart. He's created incredible training curriculums and programs for you, for me, for married couples, for singles, for business owners, for whoever it is that wants to dream with God and find their purpose on earth. Jamal has a solution that God has given him that has created great impact on the earth. So I hope that you are encouraged by what Jamal shares today. I'm so honored that he's here. And without further ado, let's hop into The Next America with our guest, Jamal Miller. Okay, Jamal, what's up? How's it going?
And I am so excited to be here with you. My wife talks about you so much, and the opportunity to now chat with you and kind of see why she loves you is so grand for me. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I love it. Well, thank you. Yeah, I want to take on the world with your wife. I just feel like when I talk to her, I'm like, we're going to change the world together. And so also I see you changing the world, and I'm so happy to have this conversation with you. And the reason why I wanted to bring you here on The Next America is because, well, there's a number of conversations that could be had, but I feel, you know, we were just talking before we went live, just like, or not live, but recording. You were talking about purpose and you were talking about the church. And honestly, I think we should just dive in and address this issue that I've seen in America in the church, but we love the church. And so I just want you guys to know, this isn't a place to complain. It's just real. Let's talk about the solution. So I love what you're saying about how America's kind of, the American church has turned into what it is. So why don't you address that and let's just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. I mean, I think right now what we're seeing, I come from the world of where at 16 years old, there was nothing else I wanted to do but be a part of the hope of the world, which we all know that is the local church, right? How Jesus moves through his bride is so phenomenal. It's miraculous. What the church has become is a miracle in itself, to have thrived through 2,000 years of just what we've had to go through to become who we are today. And we know there's nothing that Jesus is more committed to than his bride, the perfecting of his bride. But I do believe there is a current, what I would call sifting, happening in the body of Christ, because what has happened is we begin to view the global church as the local church. And the global church is the thing that everyone comes into the moment that they accept Jesus. You don't got to walk up to somebody's altar. You don't got to establish somebody as your pastor. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a member of this global church, this church that Jesus is the chief shepherd of. But what then happens is then you are entrusted to then go and find a local community, a local church, where you now have a pastor that can walk with you and journey with you and disciple you, and you can be a part of a community of believers. But what believers have done is they have forgotten that they are a part of a bigger global church, and the local church has become like this leading, reigning thing, and everyone is just so fascinated and fixed with just trying to be popular and known in the local church. And it's just become so crazy. So I'm seeing God wanting to bring back the focal point to his global church, to the church that he's a chief shepherd of. And so I see that there's a lot happening where I am kind of seeing where the local church has become an escape for Christians from a world that we don't know how to dominate and infiltrate and rule over, which is what Christ called us to do in Genesis chapter 1. Hey, I'm putting you here that you would take dominion over the earth and that you would advance my kingdom here. I know I'm coming out really strong.
I love it.
What we see is Sunday mornings has become an escape versus what God called it to be in Ephesians chapter 4, that, hey, I'm creating these offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of my saints, for the equipping of my children. But what is happening on Sunday is we are more excited to be entertained through great worship experiences, through a great message, and leave very refreshed. But we're not going back to Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, equipped to actually do something what we've got out of Sunday. So Sunday morning has become so consumer driven. There's so many. And I love the local church, y'all. But at the end of the day, we've been called to advance God's kingdom and use the local church as a vehicle to do that. Not local church being a community club that we all just get to come in, sit down, drink coffee, have a great experience, and then leave and do nothing with it. So I think there's a lot happening right now in the body of Christ, and there's a huge sifting where I think the pandemic was a huge revelation and an eye-opening to this whole old paradigm of how we operate as the body of Christ in the vehicle by which of the local church.
You know, it's such a big deal. I love what you're saying. You're like, I'm going in hot. I'm like, yeah, we need this, because here's the deal. I love what COVID did do in the sense of how it revealed, this pandemic revealed, you know, anytime a shaking comes, you see what you're really standing on, what you're really made of, or maybe what we were also blinded to is very much so the veil's removed, because, you know, like, we didn't even know that was a veil. And so I think with even what you're saying, one of the number one things I hear people say that they struggle with in church is community. And I feel, you know, like I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree, because I have also found myself frustrated, which I want to say, anybody listening, it is okay to be frustrated, but I want to empower you to be part of God's solution and go in prayer and ask him what to do about it. But I have found myself frustrated that so many people get saved, even on a Sunday, that have been showing up, and then they have no idea what to do with it. They have no idea where to go. And so what do you think that God created us to look like Monday through Sunday, but Monday through Saturday?
That is a great question. I think what's happened, and I love what God has done through so many what I would call evangelistic pastors, where the local church has become a powerful place for evangelism, where we've created a safe place for people to come and experience God for the first time, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then that's where I think we have found it, where you got some churches are amazing at evangelism, outreaches, great word that's very much applicable to the new believer journey. But then what's happened is, then when it comes to actually taking people deeper into discovering purpose, discovering destiny, discovering the other facets of the walk of Christ in regards to deliverance and the prophetic and these other parts that we know that some churches stay away from because they don't want to scare. But then you got other churches that go like, hey, bump the surface level stuff. We're going deep. And then they're scary and they're not applicable to everybody. So it's just finding that balance, right? And so I think what's happening is right now, I would say it's not the church's fault that we are experiencing what we are experiencing. When I say the church, I mean right now, the pastor. I think we're putting so much emphasis and reliance on this person, this man who's leading the church, i.e. the shepherd, the senior pastor, or even the pastoral staff, the full-time pastoral staff, those that are full-time in ministry, to be the leaders and the champions of what I believe God has called every believer to do. Because we did not see Jesus say, hey, I'm calling pastors and leaders to be the disciple makers. No, he gave that charge to every single person. And the reason I believe we are seeing so many believers not fully walk out their walk in faith and become who God's called them to be is not because pastors aren't doing their job. It's because we as Christians aren't doing our job to agitate the responsibility of a Christ follower to go make other disciples. And then most people will say, well, Jamal, I don't know how to make disciples. I believe you didn't know how to make a baby, but you did. You didn't go to a baby class, a parenting class. More than likely, you just grew up and said, hey, we're ready to start a family. You went and made a whole human. But you're telling me you don't know how to go make a disciple because you don't know how to do it? No, that's the best way. The same way you had a kid and you figured that thing out, go get you a disciple and figure that thing out. This is the way I believe we're going to see transformation happen, is by everybody taking responsibility, not for 25, 30, 40 people, one or two people. If you just have one or two people that you're saying, hey, I want to walk with this person and help them discover who they are and help them see that this life has so much more to offer when they figure out their identity in Christ, and journey with them, not saying forever, but just for a season. Jesus didn't walk with the disciples for forever. He just walked with them for a season, and they turned the world upside down. What would happen if you were to take responsibility for one or two people and walk with them for a season? This, my friend, could be the way you change the world. And I think that's where we're seeing the drop, is that we are relying on pastors to make disciples versus relying on everyday Christians to make disciples.
I love this so much. This is so, like, it's so prophetic in nature too for what is happening. I mean, I think one of the things I really desire to encourage people with is so much of what you're saying is you do not have to have a church title or be paid by the church to live the Great Commission. And, you know, I don't have to be a women's ministry. I've had this podcast called Set Apart for so long. And all of a sudden I heard Sarah Jakes Roberts preaching. The funk from COVID broke off me. And God was like, I need you to create what you needed in this season that you did not have.
Come on.
And no church told me I could do it. God said, go do this. And so Set Apart turned into Set Apart Women. And I feel like in 4 months alone, the world is being turned upside down by how many women just need a community, right? And so I want to encourage people, like, with what you're saying, you do not, and I want you to talk into this too. First of all, the person with the microphone at church or at the conference or business conference, whatever it is not better than you.
Come on and, now, preach.
And that's like their job. Just as much as your job is what you get paid to do, their job is to hold a microphone. And literally, it's just no different. They just happen to maybe be seen more. But that doesn't mean you're not to live how they are. So will you address this? Because you said you had done ministry and you were paid by the church. And now it's just wild, even just seeing glimpses of you on Instagram, just having known your wife for the past, it feels like I've known her forever, but just the past few years.
Yeah.
But to see you, like, what has that meant to you to go from, and I worked in the church and I love it. I'm not against it at all. Okay. Mm-mm. Like, that is a calling.
You're called to it. You're called to it.
It is a call, though. I will
100%.
Say that.
Yep.
Those people are going under fire all the time. But what was that like for you to be serving in the church with that kind of, like, being paid by the church? And then, like, what happened where you were like, wait, what does it look like for me to be this outside while still being inside the church? But, like, you're, like, building all these amazing business equipping and training programs for people because we need healthy businesses and doing all this. So I don't really know how to ask what I'm asking. That's not even great, but you're following me.
I'm right there with you, right? Okay. And basically, how did God mess my life up?
Yeah.
and I think for every single one of you listening to this call, I know as a Christian that is committed to what I call the most important moment of your life. And the most important moment of your life is that moment where you're going to stand before Christ and have to give an account for how you stewarded the gifts and callings that he put within you. That point of your journey is the most important point, right? I consider it the great movie reveal, because I feel like we're going to just, God's going to say, hey, get a chair and let's watch your life. And that judgment moment is something I think about probably at least once a day, because it is for me that I want to, my mission in life is to die empty, which basically means everything God invested in me, I want to leave it here on the earth. Like, there are so many graves that are full right now of people who died with things still within them. And so when this moment came for me being called to change people's lives, 16 years old, starting a Bible study in my high school after being radically transformed and broken free from, you know, a lot of confusion. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so it was very a passive environment where I could basically choose to do whatever I wanted to do. And when I encountered Jesus, you know, right before I was about to give up my virginity and give up and make a decision that probably could have derailed my entire life, I kicked the girl out of my room and I'm like, God, if I'm gonna do this, like, I need to know that you are real. And no pastor, no violin playing, like, nothing, no music, literally the raw presence of God entered my room at 16 years old. Wow. And just gripped me. And I felt the love of God for the first time. But the cool thing is we have to understand how purpose works. When before you were a person, you were a purpose. And the only reason why a purpose was created was because God saw a problem. Right. So when God looked at the earth and he said, it's without void, he saw a problem. Then he created something that now became purpose. And then he said, I need a person, Adam, to come now fulfill this purpose. So you've got to see the way purpose works is God sees a problem in the earth that creates purpose. And then he finds a person who can fulfill that purpose. So the moment you come into contact with the presence of God and the rawness of who God is, there's no way for you to not be confronted with the purpose of God upon your life, which is why everybody is here listening to this call. What ended up happening for me, the moment I came encounter with Jesus, I had to face that I was made for more. I was made to change people's lives. And I started figuring this thing out. Purpose is not an arrival point. It's a constant everyday discovery. And that's what God loves about purpose. So then I run into, how do I change lives? The first thing I knew to do, let's start a Bible study. That Bible study leads into becoming one Bible study to three Bible studies to hundreds of my friends coming to know Jesus in my high school. Well, then I'm like, yo, it's clear. I'm called to be a pastor. Like, I need to be having a church. So God, drop everything else, bump everything else. I'm going to a place where I can learn how to be a pastor. So I go to a Bible college and my full focus is to lead a church. That's all I knew. But here's the thing about, I was right about the thing I was called to do. I was wrong about the vehicle by which he wants to do it. And I think that's the thing. A lot of us, we get a picture of what we believe God has called us to do, but the frame by which that picture fits in is probably more than likely not what he's called us to do. And that's where you got to go through the journey of just being exposed to his Holy Spirit and his guidance and his leadership, that he will lead you to the place. Because I wouldn't tell you guys that this thing has been some just divine, oh my gosh, he came out of the clouds. Y'all, I've made more mistakes on my journey of discovering my purpose than I've done some things right. So it's more about you just being willing to commit to the story that he is building in you. And let me explain. So for me, it goes into ministry being the place I would fulfill my purpose. I became a youth pastor. And from being a youth pastor, I ended up getting married, meeting my wife on Facebook. And that's at the point where we got married, my youth ministry job was paying me $500 a month. I couldn't take care of a wife on that salary. Wow. So that's when I'm like, yo, I got to figure out a way for us to start opening up other endeavors that can bring in other streams of income. And that's when we stumbled on this idea for this blog, because I saw some friends making great money blogging. And I'm like, oh, maybe we can do something like this. And I was not intending for it to be a full-time salary or take us off our jobs. It was just something, a cool thing to fulfill purpose and as well to make money doing it. And I had no idea that in 3 years, right, from the moment we created, that this thing will become a six-figure business. And then in 3 years, we hit a hard point. And I'll tell you the story, because I end up, you know, basically launching a book that I thought would blow up and make me a millionaire. The book made me $2,000. And at that point, I quit the blog, shut everything down, and I took a full-time ministry position at another church. And while I was at that full-time ministry position in this church, I knew that I was sacrificing something that God was truly calling us to do. And at that point, we make a decision to leave that full-time ministry position, and I come back to, we can move back to Chicago, and that's when we fall on hard times. I think a lot of times we think we follow God, that things are just going to blossom immediately. No, things got really bad. And for us, we fell on food stamps, and I had to pick the Married and Young blog back up, started figuring out how to get this thing going. And it was within maybe about 3 years of us getting it going that we went from, you know, food stamps to seven figures. We launched a program helping singles to become married. And at this time, I was just trying to honestly just be in God's will, but also I needed to make money to feed my family. And so we figured out a way to transform lives, but also make money doing it. And I think for so long, it's been two separate worlds. If you want to change people's lives, go into ministry. If you want to make money, go into business. But God was wanting to enter me into a world where I can marry the two, where we can transform lives and make real money. Last year, we clocked in over $7 million in our business. So like what we're doing, but that's not the cool point. The cool point is we were able to have more than somewhere between 5,000 to 6,000 people go through our programs, whether it was our singleness programs, our Bible literature program, our leadership program, our entrepreneurship program. We are a full-fledged education company that is helping people to develop who God's called them to be so they can go out into the world and be it. I consider ourselves literally, we are the greatest support system to the local church, because we are helping the local church to have fully built and equipped leaders that can help staff it and use it for their everyday. And so this has been our journey. This has been our process. And it's been absolutely incredible. But overall, it was not easy following God. But when I tell you, it's been the worthwhile journey I could ever been on.
I love this so much. You know, one of the things I feel so emotional about, even about your story, because I can't help but like correlate in not the money aspect, but like, but where we are and where we're supposed to be is, you know, there is that point where maybe people are hearing God and they, you know, there's so many things that can happen. You do get paralyzed, or maybe you feel like you can't move forward because there's not anybody there, or you don't know what risk looks like, or you don't know, like, how would you speak to the person at home that has this dream that maybe they've had it for so long and they just quit on it and they think it's impossible, or maybe they have this dream and they don't know what to do? Like, what do you wish you could say to yourself that you would say to them, yourself back then, that you would say to them now?
So good. And I think I have two ways to view this, right? You have the place of regret that you don't want to have to face at the end of your life for not trying. And you have the opportunity for an immense reward. So it's just those two different pain points are two different, like you have a pain point and a pleasure point. I think you got to focus in on both to motivate you of, I don't want to be in regret that I didn't try. And trust God. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. When you step out and you trust God and do something, whether it succeeds or fails, you can't fail because you are stepping out to trust God. And by you doing that, you are pleasing God, whether it works or not. And you're going to learn so much about yourself. And whether it costs you money, costs you time, costs you energy, at the end of the day, what are you about? We are about bringing pleasure to our Father. So stepping out and doing something crazy and jumping out of the ship and testing something out, I promise you were made to do it. You were made to do it. And then on the reward side, if it works, my friend, your life will not only impact you, but it will impact those around you. I'm talking about your family's family's family. What I've been able to do is more than just the money I've been able to generate. It's the intelligence, it's the knowledge, it's the skill that I now will be able to pass down to my daughter, to my daughter's daughter, the ability to understand how to take something that's an idea and turn it into a multi-million-dollar business is something that my kids will now be able to learn from me for free. They don't got to go to some business coach. They don't got to go to some fancy college. They can learn from their dad that did it. That's what I believe the Bible says, that you will leave an inheritance for your children's children's children. That ain't just money, my friend. It's information. It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It's insight. It's revelation. That is more wealth, more important. When you look at these families that are passing down money, they're not passing down just money. They're passing down abilities. They're passing down access to certain revelations and intel that other families don't have, which is why they're doing. And when you go to the Wallace family, I'm not the Wallace family, the Walmart family.
Yeah.
What's their last name? Is the Wall? What is it? Their last name? I forgot the.
I don't know, but we know who you're talking
about. You
know,
the Walmart family. You got the Rockefeller families. Like, you have these families that are continuing to pass down. They're passing down more than just money. They're passing down abilities. This is what's possible, and you can do it too. And that's what you need to think about as you think about your future business, is you're telling your kids and showing your kids what's possible.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say, is you get going because the reward is so much greater than the regret. And I promise you, it will be worth it.
I love that so much. I feel like I'm about to go run laps around our neighborhood right now, and it's freezing outside. So here's the thing that you're saying too, that is like so crazy. Some of you listening have a victim mindset because you were not handed an inheritance, because honestly, your parents probably didn't know better. Or maybe you were handed an inheritance and you haven't learned to value it and appreciate that it wasn't money, but maybe it was something else. But here's another thing. If you move forward with God the way Jamal just talked to you, the way that he's living proof of this will be your children's normal. They
Come
don't have to
on.
fight, like they don't have to fight the way you have. It'll literally be their normal. They won't know anything different. And that is what you're talking about, of that's when these families can continue to make a bigger difference and a bigger difference and a bigger difference, because we have got to start thinking about, I want my children at 34, I'm 34, I want my children to be way further along than I ever could
Come
have dreamt than I am right now.
on.
They should
Absolutely.
be, right? They should
Yep.
be. And so I think that that's such a key, and some people just need a revelation of it. Some of you may feel like, and just ask the Holy Spirit to help you, like, get this revelation. Okay, Jamal, I just feel like I'm like, so for you to close out, my question is, when you look at the next America and you see this beautiful nation, and you see this incredible men and women from all different backgrounds, all different walks, what is one of your dreams to see in America moving forward? Like, what do you feel like God's put on your heart right now that maybe isn't yet? And how do you think practically people listening can get there? It's a loaded question.
It's okay. No, I love it. This has been so much fun rocking this with you. And I think for me, when I think about my dream for America, it is, two words just like come to my mind, and it is impact through intimacy. And it's this place where I would love to see believers become so intimate with God, where they just truly become so fixed on pleasing him as a son does to a father, as a daughter does to a father. Just that relationship dynamic is so strong and so solid that you know you can't fail in the eyes of your father, but you know there's no way you can stay put doing nothing. And that will promote and push and propel you into a place of impact that you could have never had if you were just trying to do it just for money or doing it just for fame, doing it just for success, but you're doing it for the pleasure of the Father. That's a place of intimacy. And that's my dream, because I believe that if there's anything that has kept me through all the years of the ups and downs of building my business, managing my family, the moments of failure, the moments of mistakes, is knowing that my Father loves me and he is for me and he is with me. That revelation, knowing I can't fail even if I tried. I may fall down, I may make mistakes, but I can't fail. And that right there alone keeps me going and motivated to have the impact that I've been called to have. Every one of you has a different measure of impact you've been called to. Everybody. So don't be out here thinking I got to go out here and change the world. No, my friend, all you have to do is change a world. That's what you've been called to do. I've not been called to change the world. I've been called to change a world. We all have a different measure of what our world consists of. You just double down on that. If I can encourage you, go fall in love with Jesus and have a crazy amount of impact on this world, because that, I believe, truly is my dream for America. Jesus-loving, impact-driven people who are motivated to please the Father and who are fixed on co-laboring with him. He's not just my Father, he's also my partner, and he is someone that's working hand-in-hand with me to advance his kingdom and to bring it to earth. Woo!
That is so good. That's like my dream. I love that you are doing everything you're doing with that heart to raise that up in the hearts of the sons and the daughters in our nation. And I love that courage walked through the room. It felt really prophetic while you were saying that. I was like, y'all about to get a dose of courage to live this intimacy with Jesus.
Yep, girl, I don't know where he went. He walked in and he like, well, I don't know, he walked back out. He was like,
he's like, he has no respect for dad on the interview. I'm just kidding.
Not at all. He has none. Like, he literally, like, oh, he's talking again. I ain't gonna get no time. Let me go ahead and go back upstairs.
Right? Yeah. We have a golden doodle too that's almost a year old, and his name's Remnant. Very prophetic.
Oh, wow. I love that.
He is an evangelistic tool, by the way. Love it. But that's a side note. Jamal, you are so awesome. I'm so grateful. And you're such a well of wisdom. You have all of these amazing courses that are available to people online, so it's easy access. They don't have to always fly in to be trained and equipped. Can you tell us, like, one, how can people connect with you, and tell us all the things that are available to people listening in right now?
Yep. So I would say definitely go follow me on Instagram at Jamal Miller. That's probably the place I'm most consistent with stories and updates and what's happening, what we're doing. Our programs, none of them are what we call open all the time. So you have to just follow me and see whenever we're doing what we call a launch. And when we do a launch, like we just got done doing our Profit and Purpose Academy launches, which is our signature school for budding entrepreneurs, those who want to jump in online and create something that can be longstanding and wealthy and impacting people. So that program just closed literally last night, right? So you just got to follow me and know, but we're also getting ready to launch our other school, the One University, that's for helping singles to get married. So definitely just continue to follow me, and you can definitely find out more as I kind of journey through what we're doing. But overall, those are the two primary ways. And then we also work with other experts as well, which you've probably seen, Jay. We've worked with other people helping to launch bigger names, people that have a lot of influence opportunities. So follow me, because you can see about those as well.
I love it. And do you have a website also that you would point people to that are maybe listening? Because I do have an older crowd tuning in that doesn't have Instagram.
Yep. So just go to jamalmiller.com. And that's also a place where you can learn about a Bible study that I do called the Entrepreneurs Bible Study. I do that about maybe like 3-4 times a year. I do different series. So when you go to jamalmiller.com, you can get on my email list to learn more about the Entrepreneurs Bible Study. And that is a great place to start with me.
Awesome.
And also, if you're single, you can go to theoneuniversity.com.
Yes.
And that's where you can learn more about that.
That is so fiery. And I've heard crazy stories about the One University. So if you're single, don't even mess around. You need to get up, go right now in Jesus' name. No. awesome. Well, thank you for your time. Guys, follow Jamal. I'm so grateful for you. I bless you, Jamal. I believe God is just extending your tent pegs beyond anything you can possibly imagine. I think you're raising up thousands of people with your own eyes, not something that you're just, you know, leaving behind, but I think you're going to see thousands of men and women who will be transformed and who will take action because you've taken action and you're willing to take time to help lift them up. And so thank you so much for that. And guys, what we do today determines the America we live in tomorrow. You heard Jamal say this, what you do today is the inheritance you live of character, of discipline, of spiritual giftings, of money, of whatever your wealth is in Christ is what we're leaving behind. And so we want to help raise up an incredible generation that leads to another generation and another. So go check out Jamal and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching here, like this video, comment. And then if you're listening on our podcast, which is new now, season 2 on a podcast, subscribe, leave a written review. We want to hear from you and share this with your friends who may be encouraged so they can hear more from Jamal. Thank you so much. And I'll see you next week on The Next America. Thank you so much for tuning into The Next America. It would be such a joy to have you join our tribe. Our tribe consists of men and women who are monthly supporting, discipling women with Set Apart Women and The Next America. We want to help disciple men and women to go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to do the things Jesus commanded us to do. If you want to join the tribe and help sow into this monthly, please visit jamielynwalnow.com and become a monthly patron.